Amen. Praise the Lord. We can sing that song with all of our heart. Can you sing it with all your heart this morning? Then all of heaven is yours. All of heaven is yours. If your heart can sing that song. You don't have to be perfect this morning, but your heart has to be like that. Oh God, here I am. Take me from where I am to where you want me to be. If your heart is like that, all of heaven is yours. Praise the Lord. Why don't we stand again and just have a prayer before we look at the message this morning. Just have a prayer before the Lord. God, our Father. Our Heavenly Father. We love you this morning, Father. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for sending your Son to die for us. Yes, He who knew no sin was made sin that we might be the righteousness of God in Him. Thank you for that, Father. You've made a way for us. Our hearts can be satisfied in you, Lord, because of Jesus. Oh God, I pray this morning, open the eyes of our understanding. Let us see, oh Lord. Bind the enemy this morning, every lying spirit that would hinder us from seeing, oh God. Cleanse the atmosphere of this building. In the blood of Jesus Christ this morning, Father, and bless your people with truth. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You can turn in your Bibles to Psalm 67. We're going to begin there. Psalm 67 is one of my favorite psalms. I'm not sure how many times I've prayed this psalm to the Lord, but it is many, many, many times I've prayed it, believing it as I prayed. It is a prayer. It's easy to see as we read it. It's a prayer to God, a beautiful prayer. This morning, and for about 2 weeks now, God has been laying this message on my heart. And the title of the message is, God's Shining Face Upon Me. God's Shining Face Upon Me. That's the title of the message. And this Psalm 67 is a good portion to open up our subject this morning. So let's just read it together. Just ponder these words as I go down through the verses. Ponder them in light of this title. O God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Selah. Stop and ponder that phrase. And cause His face to shine upon us. Why, Lord? That Thy way may be known upon earth. Thy saving health among all nations. Look at the impact of the answer to that prayer. It's powerful. That Thy way may be known upon all the earth. By the way, in the New Testament, they called the disciples the people of the way. Well, this is the way in this verse. Thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Stop and think about that one again. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Whew. I can hardly just read that psalm with all the things that I want to say. They just make me want to start saying them just reading the psalm. But I'll try to stick to my outline. Also, reading over in Psalm 89 here, these verses also express the heart of what I want to get across here this morning. Psalm 89, reading from verse 15 through 17. This is the Psalm of David, a beautiful psalm as he's overflowing, reflecting upon God's blessings upon his own life and his people. Verse 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Do you know this morning the joyful sound? Do you know what the joyful sound is? The joyful sound is the song of the soul that is set free. That's the joyful sound. And by the way, you don't just hear that on Sunday morning when the people get together to sing. Although you do hear the joyful sound on Sunday morning, but this sound, you hear it in the depths of your soul on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, or Wednesday afternoon. It's the joyful sound of the song of the soul that has been set free through Jesus Christ our Lord. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance. And may I say, with Your shining face upon them, they shall walk. In Thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in Thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For Thou art the glory of their strength, and in Thy favor our horn shall be exalted. Oh, beautiful words that we find coming out of the heart of David, the psalmist. My message this morning is to God's redeemed among us. There may be a few here this morning who could not say that you're part of the redeemed. And this message is for you also. But it is specifically for God's redeemed among us. For the multitude of sincere believers. And the burden of my heart this morning is to minister to those sincere believers who struggle with God's acceptance in their life. Who struggle with receiving the reality of God's love into their heart on a consistent basis. That is the burden of my message this morning. I don't know how long ago, it must be maybe a year, that I preached a message about the Father's love, God's love to us. And I mentioned in there how many people that I notice can hardly even pray a prayer about God the Father's love because they know so little of it. And the theology of it is buried deep, deep down below condemnation and accusation in their life. They can hardly lift up their head and believe that God loves them. Well, I said that a year ago. I'm more burdened about it this morning than I was a year ago. I've counseled with many, many people between then and now, and it still stands the same. God's people do not live in the reality of the fact that God's shining face is shining upon them. And that's the burden of my message this morning. So the message is to God's redeemed this morning, however, even the few who do not find themselves in this category, that of a sincere believer, the few that may be here, willful, rebellious, holding on to sin, it doesn't matter anyway. The message of God's love is a powerful magnet to draw the heart of the rebellious and bring them to the foot of the cross where they yield everything to God and give up their life to Him. So it doesn't matter. God can minister to your heart through this message this morning. To the redeemed, I say this morning, I don't know of any truth in the Bible that could have more positive influence on you than that which I'm speaking about this morning. I don't know of any truth in the Bible. Oh, the Bible is full of truth, and we love all the truth that's in the Bible. But what I'm going to say this morning is like the pillar that holds all the rest of it up. It's that which makes all the rest of the truth have any meaning at all. I don't know of any truth in the Bible that can have more positive influence upon you than this. That will bring forth more yieldedness in your life. That will bring more holy fire of love for God into your soul. That will create in you more desire to please God. And more righteousness, fruit in your life. I don't know of any truth that will do more than this. And by the way, I want to remind you that the enemy of our souls, he knows that also, that nothing motivates the people of God to sanctification, to motivation to serve Him more. Nothing motivates them more than the reality that God, the eternal God, the awesome Creator of the universe, that God loves me. Wow! Let's go do something! God loves me, even me. We love Him because He first loved us. That's what John said. Oh my, how beautiful a testimony John had. How he served God all of his days. How he walked with God. How in zeal he purified his heart before God. Was there a holier man than John? Was there a man who loved God more than John? But John's testimony was this: I love Him because He first loved me. And oh, we need to get a hold of the reality of that, brothers and sisters. We serve Him because He first loved me. We pursue after Him because He first pursued after me. And the reality of that needs to grip our hearts this morning. God's shining face. What does this little phrase mean? God's shining face. Well, the word shining means outshining. It's not just light. It's the outshining of light. That's what the word shining means. But it's more than light. And the reason why it's more than light is because it is the outshining of God Himself. When the Bible says, God, make Your face to shine upon us. When the psalmist prays a prayer like that, The psalmist is saying, Lord, would you outshine your very person upon us today? That's what that word and that phrase means. So it's more than just the turning on of a light, even though in the Scripture it uses the same word, whether it's the light of the sun or the light of God. But when we look at it in the context of what it is being used and spoken of here, it is the outshining of God Himself. Could anything affect us human beings more than the reality of the outshining of God Himself upon us? But brothers and sisters, we need to believe in the outshining of God. We need to believe it. And that's where the problem comes in. The devil, the enemy, has lied to us. So it means the outshining of God. It means God's smiling face. God's smiling face. It means God's smiling approval and acceptance. It speaks about joy. The joy of God, or the joy that flows out of God. I mean, talk about joy and praise God for joy. But when joy flows out of God, that affects people tremendously. And that's what it means, the outshining of God's face to His people. It means the favor of God, the blessing of God, the blessing of God being poured out upon His people, the flowing out of God's life to man. That's what it means. That's quite a bit. We can gain some understanding about this little phrase as we consider the illustration of human relationships. We understand what it's like to receive or to give the outshining of our heart and our life to somebody else. Maybe it's a friend that you haven't seen for 3 or 4 years. I remember when I saw my son Daniel, when he came home from Africa, there was an outshining that came out of my face, which flowed up out of my being, which had an effect upon my son. And when my son saw my face, there was an outshining that came out of his being, which flowed forth out of his face and out of his heart, and I received every bit of it. Oh, what a beautiful homecoming those kind of things are. We understand that. We understand that when two people meet each other and there is that outshining of their face, it is the expression of many, many things that are deep down inside of their heart. It's not just the smile. Amen? It's way more than just the smile. But that smile is the outworking of many things that are inside of the heart. Hallelujah. Last Sunday morning, well, I guess it was afternoon by then, but I had the blessed privilege of doing something that I do often. The last Sunday morning, I just kind of, or afternoon, it was, I don't know, 12:30, something like that. I just kind of stood back off to the side a little bit and watched you in the fellowship service, you know, after the meeting. I was just watching you. Oh, it was a joy. You know what I was seeing? I was seeing the outshining of your faces, one to another. I just stood back and watched as you met each other and as you greeted one another and as you blessed one another and your faces shone out at each other, and I was watching, and it was beautiful to behold. And as I was watching, I came to grips with the reality that these people, they're not just smiling at each other. Their very heart's love is flowing out from one to the other, and virtue is going out from one and into the other and back again. And brothers and sisters, that's Christian fellowship. Amen? But that's just on a human level. We're talking about the outshining of God. We're talking about God, the eternal God, the God of the universe, the creator of all things, the eternal one, the everlasting Father, that God outshining to you and me. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. The outshining of God's face. I watched and I beheld the love, the blessing, the acceptance, the approval, one of another, last Sunday morning. Now I knew as I was watching that you all knew each other. I mean, we've been together a long time, many of us here. You know my needs. I know your needs. Yet, such love, such blessings, such acceptance, such approval, such an impartation of virtue and grace one to another. Even though we know each other and we know our needs and we know we have them. That's a picture of God's love, brothers and sisters, this morning. That's a picture of His love to you, O sincere one. This is the way God is with us. And what I was watching last Sunday, it was more than a form. I mean, I knew that. We weren't going through the motions of something that wasn't real. We were not just holding the doctrine of Christian salutation last Sunday. No way. No way. The reality was there. And that's what makes the ordinance of a Christian greeting or a Christian salutation so beautiful. When the heart is in the ordinance and it functions that way, it's lovely to behold. This is the way it is with God and us, brothers and sisters. Thus David prayed, "Make your face to shine upon thy servant." What a beautiful prayer to pray when you begin to understand the depths of what are in those few words, that David could come to his Father, his God, and his Father and say, "Make your face to outshine upon thy servant." And if you'll go through the Psalms, you'll find that phrase there several times. David was pleading a promise before God. He was also believing that promise, and I'll prove that to you if you'll turn with me to Numbers. Numbers chapter 6. This is the first mention of this phrase about God's shining face. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 23. And I believe these verses are the reason why David was praying that prayer. Because he believed in the outshining blessing of God upon his life. And therefore, he was praying the promise of God's blessing upon his life. Look at the promise. God said to Moses, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 23, "Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel." Aaron, this is how I want you to bless the children of Israel. "Saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." What a beautiful blessing that is. And look what God says. And they, Aaron and his sons, they shall put my name upon the children of Israel that way. And then God says, "I will bless them. I will bless them." This is where David got the promise. Right here. And thus he could come to God in the situations of his own life, in some of the desperate things that he was facing, and say, "Oh Lord, make your face to shine upon me. I believe in the outshining of your face, oh Lord. Make it a reality to me today." That's what David was praying. May we bless one another in this way, even according to these verses and many other. God loves you this morning, dear brothers and sisters. He loves you way beyond what you can even imagine. So, I think we need to let our theology catch up a bit. God loves you this morning. Oh, struggling one, lift up the eyes of your heart and believe that. Believe it. You are His beloved sons and daughters. You are His beloved sons and daughters. Paul said it this way in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." I like that little phrase. That's what we are. We are His dear children. Oh, but you say, "Brother Denny, I failed this week. Something didn't go right in my life this week." I don't care if you failed this week. You are still His dear children, even if you failed this week. I mean, some of my children failed this week. I didn't turn my back on them. God loves you this morning. You are His dear children. You are His dear children. Oh, it amazes me how many people struggle to say words like that back to God in prayer. "Lord, I know that You love me. And I know that I am Your dear child today." They can hardly say those words. Dear brothers and sisters, the enemy has done this. The enemy has done it. May God help us. May God open up the eyes of our understanding to see what the enemy is doing to the people of God. Let's look at the theology of this shining face a little bit. Turn over to Romans with me. Beautiful place. We could look at it in many places in the New Testament. Probably a third of the New Testament is filled with the theology of God's shining face, by the way. And it's interesting to me, and it's beautiful to behold as you go down through the epistles, how many times you see the theology of God's shining face. Oh yes, Paul comes in there, he writes to those different churches, he admonishes them, he instructs them, he gives some reproof and some correction to them, but in the midst of all of those reproofs and corrections is an overflowing theology of God's shining face. That's the way it ought to be, brothers and sisters. Listen, that's how you guide your children, isn't it? That's how you ought to guide them anyway. Sure, they need some direction. Sure, they need some correction. Sure, they need some guidance. Sure, they need some admonition sometimes. But we don't put a frown on our face and fold our hands and scowl and grumble at them and condemn them when they do something wrong. Do you think God is that way? I'm telling you this morning, God is not that way. That's not how I know my Heavenly Father. I'm His son. And He's my papa. And by the way, that's a powerful, endearing word. Not a loose word. It's a close word. He's my papa. And He doesn't correct me that way. The theology of this shining face. Romans chapter 4 verse 1. We'll read from there. Paul bringing out the foundational truths of the whole of the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Paul bringing it out here in Romans 4 verse 1. He says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found?" What shall we say about Abraham and what he found? What did Abraham find? "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." You don't glory before God with the things that you did. "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not to be accepted before God, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Now what this is saying is simply this. God spoke to Abraham. God said to Abraham, "Abraham, this is what I'm going to do for you." And Abraham, which by the way, had a lot more needs than you and I did when God said those words to him, Abraham looked up into God's face and said, "I believe it. Wow. God is going to do that for me. I believe it. I believe it. Thank you, Lord. I believe it." And God looked down and said, "He's believing my words. Righteous. That man is righteous. He's believing my word." And God's shining face shone upon Abraham. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. It's the same with us, brothers and sisters. It's the same with us. This morning, believe that God justifies the ungodly through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what was done on the cross 2,000 years ago. God justifies the ungodly who come and say, "I'm not worthy of it. I don't understand it. I can't see my way through it all. But I believe it. I believe it. Yes, Lord." And God looks down and says, "They're believing. They believe the record that I gave of my son. Righteous," says God. Righteous. Listen. Remember. Remember. Let your mind go back a ways. Remember that beautiful day. That day when you first believed. Remember the glory of that day. Remember the shining out of God's face that day. Did you not feel like God had put His absolute arms around you and taken you right into His arms? Isn't that how it was? That's how it was for me. Bless God. It was God's shining face. All of a sudden, God was smiling at me. Wow. What do you want from me, Lord? What do you want from me? This old sinner, this old atheist who shook his fist in your face. God is smiling at me. What do you want, Lord? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to change? Where do you want me to go, Lord? You name it. I'll go. I'll do it. And I'll have to be honest with you this morning. That's why I'm here this morning, 30 years later. That's why I'm here. I'm not here out of obligation.
I'm not out here because I have to be here. I'm not up here because I'm afraid God will disapprove of me. I'm up here because God loves me. That's why I'm here 30 years later. God smiled at me and I've never been the same. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Now I want to say this morning, I'm talking to the sincere believers this morning. I'm not just throwing this out to anybody. We're talking to you brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're talking about our theology today. You know, if we don't get our theology right, we won't be able to walk with God. I'm telling you, we won't be able to walk with God. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not all. Not only are we justified, but he goes on in verse 2 and says, by whom? By whom? By Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And guess what we do? Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Do you know what the glory of God is, brothers and sisters? It is the outshining of God's face. That's what the glory of God is. And so here we stand. Being justified by faith, God is smiling at me. And I stand in that grace and that faith this morning, 30 years later, rejoicing in hope, a lively hope, of the glory of God yet to come. Some of that glory is in this life, and a whole bunch more of it is in the life to come. But it's the glory of God, and it's the outshining of God. And brothers and sisters, in that day, when we stand before God in heaven, before His very face, guess what we're going to see? We are going to get an outshining of God's face that will, well, I mean, it puts men on their faces like dead men. The reality of all of that outshining. But this morning, we stand by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ in that grace, rejoicing in hope of the glory of God to come. That's where we are this morning. It is the glow of God. It is the outshining, the radiating of God. And look what it says in verse 5. Look what this lively hope does for us in verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed. Now I wonder how many of God's people are ashamed. So many of God's people are ashamed. They hang their head. They don't come to God. They feel like God doesn't love them. Their theology tells them stay away from Him. They're ashamed. That's not right, brothers and sisters. That's not right. Hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Beautiful. Beautiful. This kind of lively hope will never make you ashamed. Paul reasons with us in verse 6 through 11. Now he stated the facts. Now he's going to reason with us. And it let us give in our hearts to Paul's reasoning, which is God reasoning with his people this morning. Just like he said in Isaiah, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Let's reason with Paul. In verse 6, he goes on to say to us, for when we were yet without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Think about that, brother, sister. Oh, condemned one. Oh, you who are ashamed. Oh, you who will not lift up your head. Think about that. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. That's a lot of love, isn't it? For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would die. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now that's quite a bit of good reasoning right there, isn't it? For us to open up our hearts and realize God loves me so much that while I was an enemy of God, He sent His Son to die for me. That's a lot of love. But then Paul reasons a bit further than that with us to make sure that we get this thing clear in our everyday life, in the everyday life of our Christian life. He goes on to say, much more than, verse 9, much more than that, see, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. I mean, now He really loves you. You've been adopted into the family. He loved you before. While you were a sinner, He loved you. While I shook my fist in His face, in mercy He loved me. But now you've been justified. Now you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You've been adopted into His family. How much more He loves you now. How much more. And then He reasons with us again in verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And by the way, that word saved, it's talking about the outshining of God. You know, the Beatitudes there in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are they that mourn, all those blesseds down there. Well, if you look that up in the German, you'll find that the German translation of that from German to English says saved. Saved. Or the reality of salvation upon those. And that's what it's talking about here. We shall be saved. We shall be blessed. We shall receive the reality of salvation in our lives. Much more so now, brothers and sisters. Because we've been reconciled to God by the death of His Son. We have a different standing now. Justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. That's it. So Paul is speaking about reconciliation here. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement, the propitiation for our sins. So Paul is speaking about reconciliation. What is reconciliation? Reconciliation is God providing a way through His Son that He can be brought at one with man again. That's reconciliation. Think about it. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world unto Himself. And we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. But I want you to note that. God, the eternal God, was in His Son, Christ Jesus, while His Son was upon the earth, reconciling the world unto Himself. Do you see the heart of God?
God loves you. God wants to be close to you. God wants you to be close to Him. The picture of reconciliation is open like this, brothers and sisters. And God's hands are open like this to the sinner that sits in this room this morning. God loves you this morning. God is calling you. God is longing for you. His hands are outstretched out to you because His Son Jesus died. God the Father can stretch His hands out to you this morning. But if you're a lost sinner here today, you're like this. You've turned your back on God and God is reaching out to you. But the thing that is more sad than that this morning, brothers and sisters, is that many of God's people, because they've got this thing confused in their mind, you know, if I do something wrong, God doesn't love me anymore. That's a lie! And I'm not talking about presumptuous sin and just going living in the flesh. I'm talking about sincere people who think, oh, I did something wrong. God doesn't love me anymore. That's a lie. And here's what happens. Here's God like this toward His people who have been reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. And so we do something wrong. Did you do something wrong this week? Here's what we do because we don't believe right theologically. We turn our back like this to God. We run away from Him. We stay away from Him. We don't come and talk to Him. That's not right, brothers and sisters. That's not right. Imagine with me this morning. Imagine if your children did something wrong. And they do. And maybe they did this week. But imagine if when they did something wrong, they ran away from you. And you can't find them. Where did Johnny go? I don't know. Have you seen him? No. Where is he? He's hiding in the closet. Imagine how you'd feel. Why is he hiding in the closet? Because he failed you, Papa. And he's afraid of you. What a hurt. What a hurt. If I had to face those kind of realities, that my son or my daughter was hiding from me because they're afraid of me, because they don't believe in my love, and they don't believe that I would take them in my arms and minister to them because of their failure. Oh, what a hurt in my own heart. Imagine how God feels. Listen, when you failed, you need a Father in heaven more than you ever needed one. It's not time to run away. It's not time to turn your back. It's not time to shut your mouth and not say anything. No, it's time to run to Him. But because we don't believe that He loves us, and we don't believe that His love is unconditional, and I balance that with other scriptures, we don't run to Him. Somehow we think, oh, I failed. I must run and hide. God is mad at me. That's not right theology, brothers and sisters. Yeah, there comes a place in time when that's so. If you run down that road, a rebellious road, and you go and you keep going. But I'm talking about sincere people who love God, who want to do the right thing, who failed. You need a loving Heavenly Father. He loves you. He's your Papa. Go to Him, just like your child goes to you. What do you do when your child comes to you? I'll tell you what I do. When my children come to me and say I failed, I don't scowl at them. I don't spank them. I don't reprove them. I grab them in my arms and I hug them and I bless them for coming to me with their need. Guess what? They come all the time. Your Father loves you this morning, my brother, my sister. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I know that there are many in this room. Your Father loves you. You are His dear children. He loves you. Many years ago, I preached two sermons at different times. But these were the titles, and they had to do with this subject right here. The first one was, A Beautiful Place to Stand. Romans 5, verse 1. Being justified by faith. A beautiful place to stand. And the second sermon was, A Safe Way to Walk. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. This grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, you have a heavenly Father. You have been reconciled to God by the death of His Son. You have a heavenly Father. You need Him. You'll grow so much faster if you will run to Him. Don't run and hide. Don't hang your head. Go to Him. He's waiting to minister to you in the failures of your life. He's waiting. But the fact is, the enemy has done this. The enemy has done it. Again, I'm not talking about license and freedom to just go live however I want. It is true. Some have wrested these truths that I'm preaching this morning to their own destruction and the destruction of many. That's true. But I'm talking about the sincere. To the sincere, these things become a tremendous motivation to holiness and service by love. Which is the way God wants us to serve Him. By love. By love. Let's look for a moment at the effects of believing such theology. And I'll just give you my testimony. I've been a Christian for 30 years. I understand these things very well. But in the preparation of this sermon, man, I got so excited, I could hardly stay sitting at my desk to write the words as the truths, you know, just kept coming over my own heart and just it edified me, it stirred me, it strengthened me, it made my love for God go higher. That's the effects of believing these things. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3 for a moment. In Ephesians chapter 3, we see that Paul understood this very well. The effects of believing that God shining face is shining on me. Look at this. After he spends chapter 1 and chapter 2 and most of chapter 3 speaking to the church at Ephesus, telling them that they are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, they are chosen in Christ Jesus, they are holy and blameless in Christ Jesus, they are adopted into the family in Christ Jesus. They are accepted in the Beloved. They've received redemption and the forgiveness of their sins. And they have an inheritance which is incorruptible. And on we could go. Chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. Then he says these words in chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he gives a prayer that he's praying for them. And what is he praying? He's praying that they will know the reality of God's shining face in their life. Look at how he expresses it in verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, God's love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the heights, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, that's a mouthful of verses, isn't it? It's a week full of sermons just in those verses. But basically what Paul was saying was this: I want you to know the depth of God's love for you. Why? Paul knew how it would affect every area of their life. And it will affect every area of your life. It will affect how you relate to God. It will affect how you pray or how much you pray. It will affect how you think about yourself. It will affect what you believe and trust God for. It will affect how you view the circumstances in life around you. It will affect how you relate to others. It will affect how you relate to the lost. It will affect how you relate to your children. It will affect every area of your Christian life. To the sincere heart, these truths, if believed, if rested in, if trusted in, if held to by faith, these truths will open heaven over your life, will release blessings upon you, will free you to face the needs in your life, by the way, will carry you through the hardest of trials with joy and love in your heart. You know, I've said before, but we've been reading through that book, The Heavenly Man, as a family. And I must say, some of the things that God allowed that brother, that Chinese brother, to go through, you know, it makes one question whether God loved him. But as I look at the testimony of that man's life and how established he was in God's love, God's love, the reality that God loved him, the truth that he was established in God's love, carried him through all of those things. And he found himself in the most degraded conditions ever. And he was able to just say, praise God. God put me here so I can win souls for him. Oh, isn't this beautiful? All this filth, all this garbage, all these rats, all these derelicts, all of this garbage everywhere, all of this pain, all of this suffering. God put me here so I can win souls. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for privileging me. And I read that, you know, and I thought, Lord, I'm a long ways away from that. But it was because he was established in God's love, brothers and sisters, that he was not tempted to fall in discouragement and despair and say, God doesn't love me. He forsook me. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, there is therefore now no condemnation. We are not supposed to be living in condemnation. That is not from God. To the sincere believer, these truths are the foundation of everything Christian, and they are the foundation of every other Christian doctrine. It's the mainspring of the Christian life. You know what the mainspring does in a clock? It makes everything else
function right. That's what the mainspring does. It's the energy. It's the impetus. It's the strength which makes every other thing in the clock function right. And that's the way it is with this. So, God's word to us is, I love you. Believe it. Trust me. Yield to me. You are my son. You are my daughter. And I love you. That's God's word to us. Not only is this beautiful truth the most motivating, life-changing thing that you can learn, the loss of it is the most devastating thing that could happen to you. It will dry you up. It will stop you. You will stop praying. You won't witness to anybody. You won't want to live for God. You'll sit in discouragement day after day for weeks and months. You can be there. It's the most devastating thing that can happen to you. And the enemy knows this, brothers and sisters. It's not an accident that God called him the accuser of the brethren. That is one of his main ways that he knocks God's people out of commission. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is a condemner. That's one of his ploys. I was studying in the book of Zechariah, chapter 3 and verse 1. You know where it talks about Joshua, the high priest there. In the rebuilding of the temple and all that, it's very interesting. It talks about him being there in the presence of God, and it says that Satan was there standing beside him, and it uses these words, to resist him. To resist him. Now, many times when we think of the enemy resisting us, you know, we think, okay, he's going to tempt me to lust, or he's going to tempt me to get angry, and he does do those things. Don't get me wrong, he does those things. But I want you to notice the context of Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1. How is he resisting Joshua? By accusing him. By accusing him. By condemning him. How is he the adversary? Because the word Satan means adversary. How is he your adversary? He is number one your adversary because he stands beside you to resist you by accusing you, by condemning you, by beating you down so that you won't even lift up your head and look up into the face of your Father who loves you beyond what you could ever imagine. He's standing there to resist you. And you know what I think? I think we need to start dealing with this thing like we would if we were being tempted to lust. I'm not going there. I refuse that in Jesus' name. Get thee behind me, Satan, you liar! I think we need to deal with it that way. Accusing spirits. They're all over this world. They accuse you. They accuse God to you, don't they? Imagine that. Look what God did to you. My, he's not a very loving God. He accuses God to you. He accuses you. So, you're supposed to be a big Christian, huh? Just lying spirits. That's all they are. Just lying spirits. They accuse others to you. They do that too. You see what your brother did over there? You know? Do you know what his motives really are for what he's doing? Let me tell you what his motives really are. I'll tell you. I'll give you some insight. I mean, you'll be smarter than everybody. Let me tell you what his motives are. Just a bunch of lies. He's accusing your brethren to you. And we listen. And
they accuse you before God. But God says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this is part of the battlefront for the children of God. This issue right here is part of the battlefront. We wrestle against principalities and powers, against evil spirits. We wrestle. This is one of the main battlefronts right here. This is one of them. These are the fiery darts. How do they get quenched? With the shield of faith. Faith? Faith in what? It's not some imaginary piece of tin that you get in your hand and hold up. The shield of faith is the shield of faith in the record that God gave of His Son. That's the shield of faith. When the accuser comes and shoots his fiery darts at you and lies to you or about God or about your brother, you just lift up the shield of faith. Say, I'm not listening to that. God loves me. I'm His dear child. This is what God has for all of the church. This is what God wants to do in our hearts and our lives. Two closing scriptures very quickly here. We'll just cut this short a little bit. Isaiah chapter 60 says this to the church and to us this morning. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. God's face is shining upon thee, Church of Jesus Christ. Shine! God is shining on you! Shine! Why? For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee, brothers and sisters. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see all they that gather themselves together. They shall come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far. Thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Beautiful verses to us as a church. And lastly, in Psalm 50, also precious words, but listen to them in light of this message. You see, when we begin to live in the reality of God's shining face, guess what? God shines out of us. He radiates into us, and that radiates back out of us. And that is Christian testimony in a nutshell. Psalm 50 verse 1. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Look at that verse. And God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before Him. And it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made covenant with me by sacrifice. Brothers and sisters, let us free ourselves of these lies. Repent of them. We've united with them. We've made them part of our theology about God and about us. Let's free ourselves from this. And then from there, don't you let those things come into your heart and your mind again. Because you are not prospering. May God help us. to understand the depths of what all this means. May God help us.
The old seasoned saints of God about ready to make his departure. Scholar of the Word, loved the Lord Jesus, loved the Scriptures, was asked, what is the most profound truth you have discovered in the Scriptures? And he said, it's this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong.
Yes, he does.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank God for the message this morning. Thank you, Brother Denny, for sharing with us from the Word of the Lord. There was a scripture. It's interesting, Brother Denny, I had that Isaiah 60 written down, if you weren't going to quote it, share it. But over in 1 John, just share a few verses. In 1 John 4, he says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And then in verse 16, 1 John 4, verse 16, he says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. We have known it experientially and believed it. We believed it, and so we know it experientially. Beautiful. We have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Beautiful, beautiful. And we could go on and on. The Bible is filled with this love that God has toward us, his children, from cover to cover. Hallelujah. I thank God for the message. Thank God for speaking it to our hearts this morning. We do want to take some time here to hear from you. Maybe you have a testimony. Maybe something to add to the message. Maybe a word of confession. Let us open our hearts one to another and to God. If you feel led to share this morning, raise your hand high so we can get a microphone to you. Ushers, bring a microphone. There's two hands up front here. There's a hand in the back on the sister's side also. Okay, we'll begin right up here. Yes, go ahead.
God loves me. Hallelujah. I was just blessed by that this morning. I feel like God opened my eyes a little bit to an area of need in myself. I feel like I have every chance I get in any place I can find a higher standard than I found before, I want it. I see it up there and I place it up there. If I have my standard here and I find something a little bit higher, I throw that one out and I grab that and I go for the next one. But in that, I have allowed myself maybe a bit to, I don't know if it'd be condemnation or not necessarily, because I know God loves me, but just to see that even though I may be not quite reaching my goal and where I want to go, God still loves me and His face is shining upon me. And there is a love and a radiance and a glory that is a joy that is shining out of Him upon me. I am so blessed with that. God loves me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Denny.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes. There's the microphone in the back. Is that right? Okay, we'll take the one in the back first. Go ahead.
Brother Denny, you don't know how. The perfect timing that message came for not only me, but my mother. As some of you know, yesterday, Brother Mel and Sister Barbie and I went down to my mother's house to counsel with her. I just want to first say that I know God loves me, and after yesterday, I just know even more that He loves me. There, you know, there's times that messages come up that where the minister's saying about how we come with our smiling faces and, you know, trying to make everyone think our lives are going good. But I called Brother Mel and Sister Barbie and asked them if they would help my mother, because she's been in a lot of bondage. She would never go out of her house. We've tried inviting her up, and she just would not leave her house. And in the meantime, as I kept talking with my mother, and, you know, first she was going to be coming up this weekend, but she called me and said, "Diane, I'm sorry, I just can't leave my house. I'm having panic attacks, I'm having anxiety, and this and that." And I mean, it was like two times she backed out on me, and I just kept saying, "God, what should I do? I mean, I don't even know what to do anymore. And should I just give up? I don't know." But then as I was talking with Brother Mel and Sister Barbie, I just kept saying, "Well, now, if we go down here trying to help her, I don't even know if my life's right. You know, every area of my life is right yet. Should I be going and trying to help someone that I know that my life isn't even right?" And I just had to really confess of just sin, some sin that was still in my life. And, you know, the controlling spirit that I have sometimes over my husband. But I'm just so glad that God does love me. And Amen. He has been really convicting me. If I could just say quickly to my husband, I think he walked out, but I am sorry for last night, something that came up. And I just want him to forgive me for that controlling spirit, but I just thank God for convicting me of that, and just quietly and gently convicting me also of that. And when we went to my mother's yesterday, she, like I said, she was just in a lot of bondage. She, in the past, she was in witchcraft, involved in some witchcraft and all, but. And at one time she confessed that she was born again, which we did believe, you know, because of her testimony. But we did believe also that she wasn't delivered in certain areas. And she was definitely freed yesterday. And I'm just so glad to say that I can now witness to my mother that we can share in God's love together. And I'm just so thankful for Mel and Barbie just taking the time. I'm thankful for the people that were aware of this, that for their prayers and their support. And I'm just thankful to Barbie and Mel for all they've done. And I just pray for my mother, and I just can't wait to give her this tape that she can listen to it, because she definitely needs to hear it. Thank you.
Praise God. Amen. The other microphone is up here. Yes, please.
Yeah, I'd like to share just a personal testimony here about the message this morning, especially to someone that may be here this morning saying, "Well, my situation is different and God's love doesn't reach down to me. I grew up and never really knowing what it's like to have a father look at me with a smile of approval. And I've gone through life a lot feeling rejected or not accepted by a lot of people. And as God began to do a deeper work in my life, times of just utter desperation and crying out to Him, God would just fill my heart with an overwhelming truth that, son, I love you no matter what anybody else says, no matter what anybody else does to you. I love you." And I began to realize that it was that I needed and could count on to take me through whatever life would bring to me that I would face. I've come to realize and see that as a child of God, when I lay in bed at night and I'm misunderstood and I'm hurt or whatever, I have the right to come to God the Father in Jesus' name and ask Him to look down upon me with a smile of approval upon my life. And I just praise God for that, that I've been able to walk in that way. And recently I've been looking some at the life of Stephen and the early church there. And you know, sometimes we read about the martyrs of faith in the past and we wonder how could they ever go through and face and remain faithful and true to the end. And I'd like to just read two verses out of Acts 7, where Stephen had just finished preaching and they begin to rush at him. And it says, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." How do you think Jesus Christ and God the Father were looking at Stephen? It enabled him to kneel down and say, "God, forgive them." And he fell asleep, the Bible says.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Is the other microphone somewhere else? There's a hand in the back. Brother, to your right on the sister's side, or is there one over there also? Okay. Is the other microphone somewhere else that I do not see? Okay, in the back. Yes, Ruthie.
Yes, this is something God has been working on my life, I think, ever since I'm converted. When I got converted, I would cry out to God and I would say, "Please don't let me fall back into that life I came from." And I just would cry and weep out to God, and I learned that He wasn't about to. He was gladly keeping me and growing me up. And I just, I want to learn to rejoice when I go through trials and just say, "Thank you, Lord. I know this is from you. This is not the enemy." Well, the enemy wants to put in, you know, "What have I done wrong?" or "What's wrong?" or "God feels kind of far away." But just to realize, no, this is from you, God, and thank you because you're helping me go on. And I want to learn to rejoice through my trials. And I have another little testimony that just blessed me so much the other evening. I just felt like God was just the groom, just winning me with His tender care. I felt like the bride of Christ. And I was just at home. Irvin had been working away the whole day. And then he called around 5 o'clock and he said that I had forgotten about it, but he said that they're having a prayer meeting up at his work. A few of the guys want to have a prayer meeting together. And after he hung up, I thought, oh, our day's been kind of long. We were kind of tired of just me and the girls being in the house by ourselves. And the evening looked so long. And as I prayed for Gianna's supper, I just prayed that, "Lord, you know what we need tonight, even for the girls. Just be here with us and just be what we need tonight. We need something." And it wasn't more than 10 minutes later, Beth called, Beth Weaver, and she said, "What are you doing this evening?" And I said, "Well, I decided not to go up to the prayer meeting. I just didn't feel clear about it, and I had a lot of other things I needed to get done." She goes, "Well, I was just wondering how you feel about me just coming over for the evening." And it was just such a direct answer to my prayer. I just, I couldn't have denied that it was just the Lord and His love in that, just for that evening. He just knew that we did need a little fellowship or a little, it was so sweet. And I just thank Him for His love in those little things and His daily, everyday care. And I'm just learning the tip of God's love.
Praise God. Amen. Okay, the other one over there.
I just praise God this morning that we can be free from accusation. And for years and years, I struggled with condemnation and accusation to the hilt. And it was a lot in the area of, like, doing everything just right, you know, not saying anything wrong or, you know, not stealing anything or all those things. They just kept me so much in bondage. And it's just, I guess I feel like for years I was that person with my back toward God, not really understanding Him and not knowing who I was even really. And but I can say that if there's anyone that is in bondage, there is freedom for you, and don't stay there where you're at. And I just I just praise the Lord that He's shown me more and more of His Father face, and He was always there. It was me that was not seeing Him correctly, and I just praise God that we can be set free when we choose to believe His promises. And I see so many people in that same way how I was years ago, and it just, as I speak to them, it just gives me such a vehemence against the enemy that He does this to God's people. And He's a very personal God, and He loves His children. And this morning, something really special happened to me, and I just like to share that when I came here this morning, well, actually this week, I was feeling so overwhelmed with so many needs and spiritual needs that needed to be met and people that needed to be discipled, and my heart felt like it was just ripping in pieces. And then I saw all the spring work that needed to be done around the house, and it almost made me physically weak, and I couldn't even get much done. And I guess I was just under the burden of it all, and the mail helped me with some things, and that made things look lighter and brighter. And but this morning, I just want to praise the Lord how He cares. He cares about the spiritual needs that are around us, but He cares about our own physical needs and the things that concern us about our everyday life. And I just talked to two different people from two different families, and there's 9 potential people that would have offered to help us with our spring work. And it was just like, Lord, You're so good. I was so overjoyed when I sat next to Grace, even in the middle of the song service. I just had to tell her, because I just felt that God was singing over me. And another thing that really blessed me in the song, I think it was Eternal Father, I think it ministered to me in a way that I never really saw it before, when it said, Holy Ghost of God Thou art. Mm-hmm. You know, we see the evil that Satan and his evil workers can do to people to bind them up, and they are evil ghosts. And I just had to think, you know, I have a Holy Ghost with me, and He's with me all the time. I can't see Him, but He's with me. And I don't know, it just hit me in a new way, and I just praise God for that, that He influences me in my daily walk. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord for His gentle Holy Spirit prompting us, motivating us, constraining us.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY. Or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.